Any other announcements? Did I forget anything? Anyone? No. Thank you, Jim. I love you guys. Thank you for letting me do this. I'm going to pray very quickly. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for our friends. Thank you for giving us such awesome, talented friends with amazing hearts for you. Thank you for your mercy and your peace and your grace. And thank you for your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Brookie, is this good? Is this good level? Okay. I'm just going to jump right in with the parable. It's John chapter 10. You can follow along. And it's Jesus talking. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." That's a good word. So this morning, it is Good Shepherd Sunday. And that is a thing. Did you know that's a thing? It's a real thing. You can Google it. It's the fourth Sunday after Easter. And I love how the church has all of these celebrations and feast days. You know, we celebrate Christ's birth and his resurrection, and then on a day like today, we get to celebrate him being our shepherd. And I don't think it's difficult for us to picture Jesus as a shepherd, because we are often exposed to paintings and drawings depicting Jesus as this. There are no shortages of pictures of him holding a lamb. In fact, one of my first memories of church is being in the kindergarten Sunday school class. And one of the old ladies at church was an artist. And I say she was old, but this was like in 1982, and I was five. So she was probably about 100, which isn't old in Lutheran years. It's not. They lived to be about 1,000. Anyway, this painting she made was of Jesus holding a lamb in a field of flowers. And then she took some cotton balls and some googly eyes and some pipe cleaner, and she fashioned these little lambs, and she glued them to the painting. And then she took little slips of paper, and she wrote all of our names on them. And so each one of us got to be a little lamb. And I know it sounds cheesy, but it stuck with me, you know. And I wish I could show you guys that painting. I wish we could go there now and look at that painting, but I'm sure that that church doesn't still have that painting. And I'm sure of it because I stole that painting. I'm just kidding, guys. I didn't actually steal it. It was a gift that I took. Anyway, it's yellowed. It has since yellowed. And can we get the close-up of the... Look at that. Isn't that awesome? It's still, I can't believe it, like, the glue still holds. All of those sheep still have the googly eyes glued on. I don't know what chemical used to be allowed in glue, but it's not allowed anymore. And look how the eyes have yellowed. They just don't make archival quality googly eyes anymore. So So thanks to that delightful painting, you know, I have no problem thinking of Jesus as a shepherd. But I wonder, you know, if it seemed odd to the disciples when Jesus said all of this. When he said, "I am the good shepherd," were they confused? You know, were they like, "But we thought you were a carpenter"? I don't know. I mean, they did have Psalm 23 back then. So maybe it wasn't so foreign for them to consider Jesus as a good shepherd. But if you continue in chapter 10 of John, down about the 20th verse, it says that there was division among the Jews because of this parable. And many of them said, you know, "This guy's insane. He has a demon." And I wonder if they said that because they actually worked out the math of this parable. You know, they're like, all right, Jesus equals good shepherd plus the door, and sheep equals... you know, like they didn't want to be the sheep, right? So they're hacked off at being considered livestock. And honestly, who wouldn't be, right? Because farm animals are useful and they are often delicious. But if you ask a kid, you know, what kind of animal would you want to be if you could be an animal, they're going to choose something awesome, like a dolphin or a cheetah, a unicorn, right? I'd be a dinosaur for sure, right? I can't imagine asking my niece, you know, that question and her, you know, responding, "A hen." You know, no one wants to be that. So we don't want to be livestock because it's not a glamorous position, especially sheep. Because I've always heard that sheep are pretty stupid. And I was reading about sheep, you know, like you do. And one of the sheep farmers said that, you know, if there's a hole in one of his fields, the sheep is going to fall right in it. And I laughed. That made me laugh so hard because it got me thinking about, you know, how derpy sheep are. You know, why would you fall in a hole in a field you've been in your whole life? But then I thought, no, that's perfect. That is me. How many holes have I fallen into? Even walking toward God, walking towards Jesus, I'm going to fall in whatever hole is in the way. And I won't even realize it. I'll be like, what just happened? Am I in a hole? You know, Lord, what's going on? He's like, you're in a hole. I think I'm in a hole. He's like, I noticed. And instead of immediately asking for help, you know I'm going to ask some stupid questions first. I'll be like, when did this hole get here? He's like, that hole's always been there. What? No way. I'd remember something like this. This must be new. He's like, no, actually, Jamie, you fell in that hole yesterday, too. No way. But then look, I wrote right there, Jamie was here. And that's yesterday's date right next to it. So I'm going to add today's date so we can document this. But then finally, I will ask, Lord, how do I get out of this hole? And he says, I'm glad you finally asked. All you have to do is walk through me. I am the door. And that's how kind Jesus is. That is how good our God is. I was also reading about ancient sheepfolds, like you do. Because I didn't understand what that was. I kept picturing a barn, and that's not what it is. Jimmy, can you put that on there? Look, it's like a stone wall with like a little opening in it and pretty simple little structure. And so the shepherd would, you know, herd them into that at night to kind of keep them together, keep them kind of safe from a wolf or cheetah or dinosaur. Or a unicorn. And then the shepherd would sleep in the doorway there. I don't know why they didn't put a door on it. I'm sure they had door technology back then. But for some reason, it was important for this to be like this. So if something wasn't going through the doorway, that's how you knew it was up to no good. Right? Because in verse 2, Jesus said, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." And he was telling them that. He was boldly telling the Jews this to point out that he was legal He came under the law, and he fulfilled the law. And not only is he legally allowed to enter this sheepfold, he goes on to say that he is the door. So now that he's there, no one gets in except through him. And that is good news. And the thing about the sheepfolds is they could be used by multiple shepherds at a time. They would all return to it at night, and all the flocks would be, you know, all mixed together in that pen. And when morning would come, the shepherd would call out, and his flock would be like, "Hey, I know that sound. That's my guy." And they would follow him. And I was reading, and some of the shepherds, you know, they would have names for all their sheep, and they'd call each sheep by name, which I think is how Jesus did it. And then there were some that said they just had kind of like a call, a sound they would make, and all the flock would know to follow that. So I started thinking, if I were a shepherd, what would I holler at my sheep to get them to move in the morning? You know, what would be my sheep battle cry? And it'd probably be something like, "Let's go make good choices." And my sheep would hate me. They'd be like, "I can't believe we got stuck with her." I'm like, sure, she looks rebellious, but she's a stickler for the rules. But actually, wouldn't you think it'd be more like just a one-word battle cry that you would need? Like if Jim had his battle cry for his sheep, it would be really cinematic, right? It would be that freedom yell from Braveheart. Like, that would totally be his call. And he'd get up in the morning, he'd yell, "Freedom!" And they'd be like, "That's Jim, we're moving, let's go." And then we realize it's 4 a.m. and we're all at McDonald's. Like, what happened? Right? So maybe if I had to pick something out, like a one-word battle cry, it would get denied immediately. Like the shepherd school would be like, "Look, you're graduating, but we had the committee, and we've decided we can't let you have your battle cry of cowabunga because it just doesn't have the gravitas that we need." So instead, maybe the scenario would play out like, "But guess what? We've had a guy retire, so you're taking over his flock, right?" And they'd be like, "Here's his battle cry. They're going to know it. No problem. You just take over. It's going to be great." I'm like, "Cool, I can handle this." So I get my new battle cry, and it's "Inagata Davida," right? So I scream it out, and like 3 sheep are following me. And it's 2 Cheech and Chong looking sheep and like 1 hippie chick sheep with dandelions braided in her wool. And I would love those sheep. I want you guys to know. They are beautiful. But we wouldn't make it 8 feet before they fell in a hole. I'd be like, "Okay, guys, you know what? You made it 8 feet. That's good. Tomorrow we're going to work on not falling in this hole." Who would trust me with those sheep? But Jesus, he is the good shepherd. He's the best. He's perfect at it. And his shepherd battle cry is awesome. It's not dramatic. When he calls his sheep and we hear him, it's like every nerve in our body stands up straight in recognition of the truth, right? It's amazing. In the first chapter of Mark, Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he sees 2 brothers, Simon and Andrew. And how does he call them? He says, "Come, follow me." And he turns and starts walking. There's no drama. There's no hard sell. There's no questions asked. How did they do that? But they recognize the truth. That's how. They dropped their fishing nets and they followed him. And to show that this isn't a one-off event, Jesus walks down the shore a little bit further and there's 2 more brothers out there fishing. And he does the same thing. He says, "Come follow me." Same result. They drop what they're doing. They even leave their dad in the boat. Like, that's how immediate it was. See ya. And they follow Jesus until they die. That's amazing. And just think, 10 seconds before Jesus says, come follow me, those guys, they all thought they knew what their destinies were, right? They were the sons of fishermen. So they were going to be fishermen until they died. And can you imagine, 10 seconds ago, you were one thing, and Jesus says, come on, and starts walking, and now you're something else. You have a new destiny and a new creation. And that's a pretty good deal. I take that deal. I'll follow that shepherd. And I'm totally willing to be one of his sheep because it's not an insult. It's just a good choice. So follow that shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd who willingly gives up his life for us. He loves us so big. Even when we fall into holes. And even when it's the same hole over and over again. Amen. I'm going to close with a verse from Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. All right. We're going to do ministry over here if anyone needs prayer for anything. And I encourage you to stay and get some prayer and then go home and watch the race.